You're listening to Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, where we talk about what it means to be en route with Jesus in our day-to-day life. Navigating life and faith in our complex and changing society is hard. Our goal is to keep you unterwegs with Jesus, moving forward as you follow God's calling on your life. Welcome to Unterwegs, the En Route podcast. I'm your host, Mike Picanato, and it's great to be joined by Envision staff Stephen and Jenny Jones today. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
And this is really exciting, and I say that about a lot of our podcasts, but this one is the first time we're recording live in our new space. And we did a recording last week with some guests, but this is the first time we've recorded together in this new space. Mm-hmm. And it's also the first time we've recorded doing an episode that we're going to do as little processing as possible too.
Yeah.
Which is a little intimidating.
It feels good to be in here though.
It really does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting.
One of the reasons that we're recording this with limited time is because we've been busy over the last several weeks moving into our new space, this creative space in Weissensee that we've recently taken over, inhabited. Although we're not living here, it might feel like that after the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've spent a few hours here.
But I think maybe to really explain what this space is all about, it would be good for us to talk a little bit about some of our roles and dreams and purposes as Envision Berlin. And so when we started daydreaming and then coming up with problems and then talking about what we can do to solve some of those problems, it was before you guys were even here.
Yeah, I mean, I remember sitting in our basement in Minnesota and sitting at a coffee shop and working on a Google Jamboard or something,
yep.
You know, doing this electronic whiteboard, trying to map out, okay, what do we care about?
Yeah. And I think the exciting part about that is that was even a part of our whole onboarding process with Envision is saying, what are we excited about? What are we delving into? And we're like, as we were talking through problem solution or felt needs, it's like it was exciting to navigate the ideas of what we care about, what you and Alyssa care about, and how that fit here in this place.
And so if we run over those just for the people who are listening so that they can kind of hear those quickly and to talk about them in a small amount of detail, I don't know that we can go into it too in depth, but if we were to say, hey, here are the top five things that Envision Berlin is trying to solve. The first one would be, we really want to be focused on the deeper life. And the second thing would be, we really want to be focused on a presence-based ministry. And both of those to people who think, well, yeah, you're working with interns and you're working with short-term teams. Of course, those things are part of what you're trying to be a part of. Might be missing really how life-changing those two concepts alone can be, especially in the aspect of hosting interns and hosting short-term teams. When you guys hear those two things, what do you think about?
So I think about, again, the values that Stephen and I have been feeling God leading us into for our married life together of valuing, you know, going deeper into relationship with Jesus and doing that with a community and being present where you live, where you're placed physically, and being aware of the needs, the spiritual needs, and being present in that. Yeah, it just is a very exciting and life-giving focus, I think, for me.
I think one of the things that can get missed sometimes when we get into doing ministry, whether that's within our own culture or across cultures, is we can miss this formation that's happening in our own soul, and we can kind of get focused on the tasks that we're doing. We can kind of get lost in the checklists of ministry, which feels gross to even kind of put it that way. And of course there are tasks that have to get done, but like at the end of the day, I had a class a number of times where I would just tell the students at the beginning of the semester, if at the end of the semester you don't love Jesus more than you do today, if you don't know him better than you do today, then we've failed. It doesn't matter if you've written all the papers and passed all the tests. Like, and I think that that, for me, that deeper life sense of like, okay, are we increasingly aware of our dependence on Christ for everything that we're doing? Yeah, and for our goodness and all of that. And then that presence-based piece of like living with kind of a sense of parish, right? Of like that we're placed in a place, that there are people who live in this place who don't live in a different place, right? That there's a history to this place, and really avoiding kind of the fragmentation that can happen in life. And I think that's something that I'm super excited about here.
A big part of that parish mentality is also saying, hey, you know, God has placed us in a specific community, a couple of communities where we live. And although Berlin is certainly a city that we want to be a part of, doing something in all of Berlin is almost just too big to bite off.
I mean, how could you even? Yeah. we rode on the tram for an hour the other day, and we never left the east side of the city, right? That was all, yeah. Anyway.
And then another part of that is also just focus when groups come or our interns come, because all of them come with these big ideas of things that they want to be able to do. And for us to be able to focus that and say what supports what's already happening in this area also gives us the ability to make sure that what interns and what short-term teams do lasts beyond their visit here.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing that we really focus on is artists and creatives, which is so perfect for Berlin. It's such an artistic city.
It's incredible.
And creatives have such an amazing presence here. And we really want to be able to give opportunities to people in the US who might be saying, I am artistic, I am creative, but I have no idea how to A, grow in that, and B, especially, how do I do that in a way that also brings my artistic gifts into usefulness for the church and just for my faith.
Yeah, even just today, as we were moving and arranging and all of the things, Rachel, our current intern, and I have had a conversation about that, of like, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus and be excited and passionate and good about what the gifts and talents that he has given us, like how do we use that for his glory and not just to fit into the broader sense of performing culture, like not just to do something to perform or to be viewed as a big star, but to be like, no, what is Jesus asking you to do with the gifts and talents that he's given you? Is that to be on stage, or is that to be present in your community and produce something or create something that brings others to Jesus in ways that you don't even know yet?
Yeah, and it could be either or both, or right? Like, but I think there's a sense of, I don't know, like, it seems like sometimes the arts get either ignored, overlooked, or maybe misused, like abused even. Like, artists kind of can be taken advantage of sometimes in ministry settings. And so I think the question of how do we create a space for artists to grow and thrive and to say, okay, this is what it means to be me with the gifts and perspectives and questions and tension and all of that that is that goes along with the creating and producing and exploration and but to do that in a way that is deeper, more full, right? Instead of kind of, yeah, I guess it doesn't have to be instead of. It is a good thing for it to be deep and full and expansive. Yeah.
One of the things I love that you guys bring into this mix as well is the publishing company and how it can be also about production of resources in a creative and inspiring way that are useful to the kingdom of God as well. And it's just such a nice balance to the creativity, which I think just opens up so much. And then how do we also produce resources that are helpful, which begins to bring that into a focus. And just the way you guys are also not predefining, and these are what those helpful resources mm-hmm. are, the creative element that comes into that, I'm really excited about.
Yeah. I mean, even just books, right? The way that you can you can communicate so much with the size of a book and the feeling of the cover, right? Before you ever get to any words. And then the way the, yeah, there's just so much there.
The fourth big focus for Envision Berlin is that we really want to be about developing leaders. And one of the big ways we're planning on doing that is in a non-institutional educational focus.
I think one of the things that really inspired us with that is thinking about Dietrich Bonhoeffer and the Finkenwalde Seminary, which was an illegal seminary during the lead up to the Second World War. And just the recognition that really good things can happen in formal academic settings, but often there is a struggle to connect the formal educational component to the real life experience. And so I think one of the things that we're super passionate about and have been for a long time is that applied education, you know, whether that's service learning or the various forms of applied education, adult learning. There's so many things that we really all need to learn and grow in. And certainly, you know, we can establish some of that in curriculum, right? We can be intentional, but moving that into a way that's really connected to real life is so important.
I mean, I think even the idea of coming alongside of institutions, of saying like, no, we have something to offer. You are playing a role, and we also have a role in providing practical experience that is challenging in an institutional environment, in the campus environment. We're bringing people into homes, living, like coming into a community every day, not just, you know, for an evening of service. It's life.
And this real life combination of ministry and learning, where what you're learning is being put into practice, not 2 or 3 years down the road, but right away. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that we're not an anti-institutional education organization. I mean, my master's is through institutions. Your doctorate is through an institution. Mm-hmm. And so we're not anti-institution. We just want to also give people an opportunity to combine community and education and ministry in a way that's not focused on, I learn at one place and then years later, put that into practice.
I think there's even something about knowing what questions to ask, right? Can often come from the lived experience. And so if we start with, okay, well, what questions should I be asking? The educational experience can be so much richer. And I think that's something we can really bring in this setting.
And one thing that Envision is doing in general to help with this is offering this TREK program, which is in collaboration, again, not anti-institution, in collaboration with Crown College, where people can come and combine ministry and online education. And as we develop here in Envision Berlin, also on-site education, where we can begin to really offer people this education experience. And kind of the fifth big dream for us is being able to serve as a ministry hub. And this is really something that we see because there are some amazing alliance ministries here in Berlin. There's an Arabic focus, there's a German focus, there's a Spanish team, and there's a Chinese church, and now a new English house church as well that's growing. And all of these different language focuses are doing an amazing job at reaching out to these individual focuses and people groups, and us thinking, that's so awesome. How can we all learn from each other and bring all of these things together? And how can we also help resource these teams in ways that make their ministry easier?
I think the exciting thing even about that is, as we've been moving in, the amount of times that we would see the alliance workers that live in this community walk by the window, or that's the goal, is to be present, like going back to that presence based, but also being like, no, the goal is to be accessible, to be available. Whether that's library or space or whatever, or just in encouraging other presence in the community. But that's been exciting to see, even before it feels like we're really, really started.
There's something about being intentional about it though, right? Like there's a tendency for siloing and fragmentation, right? It's just, I mean, you see it all over the place in human institution, right? It just happens.
Completely unintentional.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so to have an intentional movement in the other direction is really necessary to get some of those synergies and co-learning. And I think really just theologically, there's a point of representing the kingdom, right? Representing what is Jesus doing and building his church. And that Revelation 7 picture is so beautiful. And we have an opportunity kind of uniquely to represent that here. And so how do we do that on purpose?
So all of that was about envision kind of in concept. And then as we really tried to put wheels on this dream wagon, one of the things I think I began to realize, we all began to realize, is that these concepts really need a space in which they can take place. It's really hard to do a non-institutional education opportunity or work with creatives or any of these things without an actual physical location that you can begin to do that in. It's hard for students to imagine coming to a school setting where there's no school setting to come to. And so a lot of it for us was just, we need a space. So we started searching. We started searching before you guys even got here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, one of the apartments that we had hoped to get was connected to an office space. So yeah, I mean, that was back in March or something.
Yeah, and it felt like there was the continual tension of being like, oh, we recognize the resources that it takes, but also, like, again, you said the need, like we were trying to imagine doing a podcast or holding a class in one of our homes or renting a space. And we're like, we have children. That doesn't feel like a good idea. And to the flow of life, like, yeah, the amount of shushing that you would have to do for things like that to take place. It's like, no, it feels like, yeah, the need was there.
And then even just to be able to say to somebody, yeah, what would you be coming to join? What does it look like to be here as part of this community? And there's something about a shared space that communicates vision, that communicates the idea, makes the abstract concrete.
And the search in the Berlin market has been really challenging. Now, there are a lot more spaces open, unfortunately, because of COVID than there were before. But it's just finding that really tough combination of, well, I mean, what every real estate is challenging is where's the right location? And then we're just starting, so resources are a little limited. And then if you find a space that you can afford, it still has to be divided in a way that's actually useful for the things you're trying to do for. And I looked at quite a few spaces, and you guys looked at several with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just even part of that, when we went into the different spaces, it's like, okay, knowing the things that we need, what's the vision? Like, can we see ourselves here? That was interesting to have, again, that concept to reality, to then walk into a space and be like, oh, what's the reality of this space? Is it too dark? Is it, you know, easily accessible? Can people find us? Like, all of those questions that we were asking about a location. Yeah, and continue to search. And you again, Mike, you looked at those. You were asking those questions much longer than Stephen and I. But yeah, still a part of the process.
And it seemed in a ton of the spaces there were trade-offs. Like, okay, this one is in our budget, but it's so far away. Does it function as a ministry hub?
Right.
Or this one has enough rooms, but when we applied for it, we didn't. The things that they wanted a business plan, and they wanted income. And while we have a business plan, and while we can certainly say we're backed by a great organization and we have some amazing donors that are supporting us, it just wasn't what they were looking for, mm-hmm. as far as them being willing to take a risk on us space wise. And then we walked into this space, and if you have Google Maps, you can type in Parkstrasse 11. And that's in 13086 Berlin, to kind of find out where the address is. And when we walked into this space, there was...
It was just right. I mean, we just knew.
Well, I think first, even looking on the outside as we were waiting at the doors, or maybe this happened as people were walking by and seeing the number to call the real estate person, but the windows are amazing. Mm. Like again, just initially of like, oh, how we want to be visible to community. We want to provide a space for people to say, this is what I created and it's meaningful to me. And the windows are huge. So huge.
Yeah, no, they're great windows. And because of our previous galleries work, looking at the windows right away, it starts to open up opportunities. Mm-hmm. But also just from a visibility and being transparent about what we're doing. And as we're recording this, in front of me is this huge show window, and people are just walking by and they're looking in and they're seeing what we're doing. And just when you start to create that kind of curiosity about what's happening, it's just kind of a fun feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we looked at the space and we all kind of thought, well, that's a great fit. And so I wrote right away, strangely, because the agent I had contacted her on the phone, the owner, I contacted her via phone, and then she had sent me some text messages. And so I texted her back right away. We're interested. What are the next steps? And she got back fairly quickly and said, I'd really like to have you in the space. I'll send you a sample, a draft of a contract, which was super unusual. I mean, for that to be the next step was absolutely not what is normal here from a German setting. What was normal was that we would have gotten a response saying, please send me your business plan. And as other applications come in, I'll evaluate whether or not yours is the one that we want to take. And so right away, the owner was really interested in having us in the space.
Because she looked at our Instagram and Facebook and was like, oh, you guys seem interesting to me, which is fascinating be a good experience.
She had asked first, what do you want to use the space for? And I don't usually talk around what we're doing. I just am careful about the wording that I use. And in this case, I won't say I was less careful, but I was really open. We're going to put students in there. We're going to try to find a good combination between art and faith and culture. And this is what our organization in Berlin is about. And this is what we want to be doing. And she just was quiet for a few seconds and said, that's really interesting. And then you're right. She looked us up both as an organization. And then Alyssa and I, who have done gallery work and worked with art in Berlin for years, looked us up and said, I see that you guys are really active and that's super interesting. And I think you guys would be great in the space. And then we had to make a decision really quickly. Because we're sitting here brand new. We hadn't even had our first team as Envision Berlin here with one intern and this amazing space, but she wasn't going to give it to us for free. And so we had to decide, are we willing to take the risk and ask people above us if they were willing to allow us to take the risk of coming into the space?
And I think even the interesting thing about that is we were still in the phases of like, what, as a team, how do we make decisions?
Right.
Like we were still navigating very much basic team organization business decisions. And here comes a very large one. Like, yeah.
And so we came together and we just laid out brass tacks. This is what we have for income and this is what the costs are and this is what that means for us. And then we prayed about it. Mm-hmm.
And we stopped to listen when we prayed.
Yeah.
Which I think was really important. Because I think sometimes when we pray, we can kind of fill the air with words. I don't know. It felt like it was important to listen.
And then we just shared, what did we hear? One of the things was also, what did we feel? As we were just spending time listening. And what we were really trying to be sensitive to was even a hint of, this is not a good idea.
And there was none of that. I think all of us felt the human side of it, just like, oh my gosh, like, okay, we're going to have monthly rent due, right?
Yeah.
There's that side of it. I don't think there was any sense at all from the Lord of like, no, guys, you're kind of getting ahead of yourselves. Or, I mean, and instead it was the opposite. Like for me, I remember very clearly this vision of like people around kind of like criticizing, right? Being like, oh, who do you think you are? Why do you think you're so important? Whatever, like these kind of like core insecurities, right, for me. And the Lord just saying, I'm not in that crowd. Come walk forward with me. I have something else for you. Like, and so all of those voices that for me would be like, no, don't. Jesus was very clear, like, that's not where I am, you know, pursue me. Yeah. And so it was just a very clear sense of move forward. Yeah.
And I think for me, in that, Mike, you had done a lot of work and have been familiar with the Berlin Rent scene. And so I felt like we were going into our time of prayer and listening with our eyes wide open. And, you know, Stephen and I are old enough and to recognize the responsibility of what that would mean. And so I think we weren't being naive. I never felt that with any of us. It felt like there was a good amount of caution. And then I think we had to really press into what is faith, what is God calling us to, that might feel beyond what seems possible, but what is he calling us to? And that felt really important in that time.
So we're going to have to bring that part of our recording to a close now. We did go on to have more to say. We were going to try to keep it to half an hour, but it was just impossible. There's so much excitement as we move into this new space and so much we want to share about it. So come back next week to try to catch the second part of that recording. And I'm really excited for you guys to hear how we continue to interact about the space.
Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, is a production of I Am Intercultural, a division of Exigent Communication, in partnership with Envision Berlin. Please like, share, and subscribe. Podcast music is by Mike Piccinato.